Hello, friends, and welcome to the Personal Arrogance Podcast, episode 99.
Feeling fine.
Feeling double fine.
Double fine, 99.
I am your host, Jesse Wilson. With me this week, as always, is...
Eric Walquist. Thanks for listening, listener.
Thank you for listening to 99 episodes. If you're a member of the 99 Club, I congratulate you.
Yeah, I do. I want to shake your hand. I want to wash my hand, because the 99 Club is a dirty, dirty club.
Yeah. Ugh. How you doing this week, Eric?
I'm doing great. The weather is finally getting warmer. I mean, it's the longest day of the year.
It is.
And it's fast.
D-Day.
Yeah. And so finally, the sun has decided to grace us with its presence up here in the dank Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I got a little bit of not a sunburn, but just, I pinkened up a little bit today.
I got a total sunburn, but it wasn't sunny. It was a cloud burn.
You got overcast burn.
I got the overcast burn.
Are you perchance a vampire? Because yeah. I think...
I was like outside, I was watching the one of the soccer games for Euro 2012 outdoors this weekend. And I get indoors and realize I look like an Alaskan king crab, a freshly boiled Alaskan king crab. And I was like, it wasn't even sunny. Got the cloud burn, man. That's how you know you're a real Seattleite. You get the cloud burn.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's what are you going to do? Yeah. How's your week?
Oh, it's been good. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, taking it in stride. Today, I went and found a couple of kind of off the path places in town to imbibe and have a good time. So,
excellent.
That's nice.
Yeah, because you're in a new space.
Yeah. Yeah. I found a couple of cool little spots. I thought this was an old person town exclusively, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I found a place where young people actually hang out. So that was refreshing.
That's refreshing.
Yeah. As you know, it can be kind of a retirement community.
Well, Port Townsend, Washington, is a very, let's just say it's a very loyal community. The community kind of sticks around and doesn't change. It's kind of like Iceland. It's like, why move? It's a maritime community.
Lots of inbreeding.
Lots of inbreeding.
The economy's in the shitter.
Yeah, the whole thing. It's
great.
It's exactly like Iceland.
Bear Grylls came here once to prove that he could survive.
Right. The hockey team is in the World Championship against the Mighty Ducks.
Is that a thing?
It's a that's D2, man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, D2. It's Mighty Ducks as Team USA versus Iceland. You need to brush up on your Mighty Ducks mythos.
Well, you can fill me in on that a little bit later. Okay. Eric, who is this fantastic episode? Episode 99, but mm-hmm. I'm still impressed that we've made it this far.
Me too.
So, who is this fantastic episode dedicated to?
This fantastic episode is dedicated to a fantastic pitcher. And he does not pitch for the Seattle Mariners, like a lot of you might think. He used to pitch for the Seattle Mariners.
Randy Johnson.
Almost. It starts with R.A. It's R.A. Dickey, the great knuckleballer who is the best pitcher in baseball this year. He's just got his 11th win of the season. He's got a sub-2 ERA, and he's leading the league in strikeouts, and he's a knuckleballer whose average pitch is like around 82 miles an hour.
There's a lot of good players that leave the Mariners.
Oh, it's a great farm system for the rest,
for the
of, the
rest of the league.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Think about all the great former Mariners. Alex Rodriguez. Randy Johnson left here and won a World Series. You got Mike Morse, who's tearing it up in Washington, D.C. right now. You got R.A. Dickey. The list continues.
Great.
Yeah. Just a couple of Jason Veritek, former Mariner. Just a great town to really get those skills brushed up and then make your push for the championship somewhere else.
Yeah.
Just ask Kevin Durant.
That's awesome.
But anyway, R.A. Dickey's doing great. And I at this rate, he's the favorite for the Cy Young. There's still a lot of baseball to play, but that's exciting. And also, he'll probably be starting the All-Star game. And it's like probably the least likely person you would think would be starting the All-Star game. And he's also 37 years old. He's peaking late. So very, and it's an interesting story. He's a journeyman, and he's just kind of hitting a stride now. So this one goes out to R.A., who proves that it's never too late to be great.
So is it like Ra, R.A., like the sun god?
Yeah, he's named after the sun god.
Oh, cool. Well, no wonder he's so good.
Yes.
Well, the batters, they can't see the ball coming.
They can't see, obviously. It's like a... Because... He's a real fireballer.
It's like a Japanese Zero attacking you out of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly like that.
It's a way to do that.
Yeah. So what are you drinking there, Eric?
I'm drinking our namesake.
Oh, nice.
Got me a 22 of Arrogant Bastard Ale.
We're going to have to drink that on episode 100.
Oh, I'm okay with that. I love it. It's got, we've talked about it before, but I think that Arrogant Bastard Ale has four distinct tastes per sip.
Peanut butter.
You got like a peanut butter, but the whole thing, you get a nice hoppy influx, you get that nice bitter outflux, you get a peanut butter aftertaste, and you get a great smell along with it. I just love the way that this beer tastes, and yeah, why not? It's an episode 99, so if I have one beer to drink...
Posted Guarded Secret, that recipe, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think if I had one beer to drink for the rest of my life, I would choose Arrogant Bastard Ale.
Oh, really?
I would.
I don't know. I think I would get burned out on it.
I think you would probably become a pretty hard alcoholic if this is the only beer that you drink. Just for
either
sheer...
that or not, because you're like, well, I guess I have to find something else to enjoy.
I don't know. I love it. I would figure out a way to put it on sandwiches. I love it so much.
Oh, what a good sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the Arrogant Sandwich. It's a tuna filet doused in Arrogant Bastard Ale on rye.
If I only had one beer to drink for the rest of my life, I honestly think I might make it an American Light Lager.
That's such a cop-out.
I don't know. I've been going through such a lager kick recently.
Well,
like, I have hardly been drinking any ales. I've been drinking PBRs and Rainiers and Henry Weinhardt's Private Reserves. And
taking the light route, huh? Taking the light rail.
I think it's a season thing.
Yeah, but the only summer seasonal that I love is now out, and that's the Mir Pond Twilight.
Or, yeah, that's good stuff.
From Deschutes. It might just be Twilight. I don't think it's Mir Pond. I think it's just Twilight from Deschutes. But it's
yes,
like
it's
they're
definitely
like,
not Mir Pond Twilight.
Whatever. but it's the only one. It's the only summer seasonal that I love. And I was so excited, and this is a really good batch this year. Very refreshing, but just hoppy, just as hoppy as you want it to be.
Dude, the Sierra Nevada summer seasonal is just fantastic.
Oh, I've heard about that. I've actually heard about that. I haven't tried that yet.
Yeah. You heard about that from me earlier.
Oh, okay.
A couple weeks ago.
Well.
Yeah, you have to try it. It's really good stuff.
All right. I will. I think it's about time to do a little Tiny Matt roll off, as you know, each week on the show. Do you have something
Mr.
else?
Selfish.
You have something else?
I'm drinking. I'm not
I'm sorry.
Drinking here. Okay. You always do this. It's just always about you, Eric.
I thought you were already said what you would drink.
No, I'm not drinking beer this week. I'm drinking whiskey.
Oh, this is going to be a fun show.
It's a whiskey night for me.
Whiskey.
I've been moving and slowly unpacking stuff, and I unpacked my cask full of whiskey that has been aging in my wooden cask, so I poured myself a heaping portion of it, so this might actually become quite an interesting event for the listener.
Have you tried it yet?
Yeah, it's good. It's really smooth. Like, it came out a lot smoother after aging it in that barrel for probably like 3 months now, maybe even 4 months.
Excellent.
And it's got like a sweet butterscotch flavor.
Oh, smooth. Is it smoky at all?
Smoky?
Yeah.
Any only very flavors? Slightly.
Mostly just kind of a sweet, smooth flavor?
Yeah. But there is I do get chunks from the barrel.
Oh.
Little barrel chunks. So that's nice.
That's like getting an oyster and some sand.
Exactly.
You take it with a grain of sand. I'm sorry.
But with that, you should always take the Personal Arrogance podcast with a grain of sand.
Always take the Personal Arrogance with a grain of sand. Well, that's great. That's the whiskey barrel you got for your birthday?
Yeah, I love that thing. I can't wait to drink all the whiskey out of it and start brewing into it again.
No, that'll
Dude,
be
it's
really
going to be
good.
So good. I'm going to make a chocolate vanilla bourbon porter. It's going to be good. It'll be good stuff.
All right, we have to stop talking about this. I'm getting jealous of my future self. So we're going to do a little tiny bet roll off. We're going to roll a 20-sided die to see who gets to talk first. And let's do it. What do you say?
I'm doing the Wizards.com die simulator.
Oh, right. I highly recommend Wizards.com die simulator. Voted best die simulator in 1997 by the users of Netscape magazine. All right.
Here we go. I rolled a 7, speaking of 97.
You can't hear this, and I'm not lying, but I just rolled a natural 20.
Oh, king of the cast.
King of the cast, baby.
I'm glad you didn't roll that on episode 100.
Yet. Well, there's always that opportunity. Okay, so...
Take us away.
Here I go. So, as everybody knows, there's a little tiny movie that came out this summer. It's an indie success story, and I'm very excited for it. Of course, I'm talking about Marvel's The Avengers.
Okay.
This past weekend, it crossed the $1.4 billion mark in worldwide gross.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. It's the third highest grossing movie of all time behind those two movies that guy James Cameron made. So it's you could say it's a pretty big success.
So that's Titanic and...
And Avatar.
Oh, right. I forgot about Avatar.
Yeah, Avatar. Both of those grossed over $2 billion worldwide. So it's kind of a distant third, but it passed Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Oh.
And, guess what the number 5 highest grossing movie of all time is?
I'm going to say Kung Pao Enter the Fist.
Close. Transformers Dark of the Moon.
Okay. I had thought that you and I rented that movie enough. to break it up
through
to
rentals,
five.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just from rental power.
So, Marvel's been having some great success. I mean, they were bought by Disney for $4 billion. Then they made this Avengers. They had this Avengers initiative, if you will, to make these movies and then lead it up to this Avengers movie. And pretty much the entire thing has been a huge success. Each of those movies did really well. They were all pretty well received by the community. And the Avengers movie is awesome, and it speaks for itself with its own success. So this all begs the question: what the hell is DC's problem?
Ryan Reynolds.
I guess so. So DC announced last week that they have hired somebody to write a Justice League movie, and it
looks
like
the thing is I. Justice League just is kind of lame.
Yeah.
I just want to go for a premise here.
I want to set this up before we discuss it. So they hired somebody to write the Justice League movie, and apparently it's pretty much done. It's written by the guy who wrote this movie called Gangster Squad, which is poised to become a pretty big movie here coming up in the summer. And it's like that movie is like an ensemble movie about guys who hunt down gangsters. It looks very exciting. So this guy is now hired to write this Justice League movie.
Real quick.
Yep.
So if the Gangster Squad is about a squad of guys who hunt down gangsters,
yep.
Won't then the Justice League be a league of people who hunt down and eliminate justice?
Well, that's a good spin on it. I mean, those are always the most exciting. Those are always the most exciting comic books is when the heroes use their powers for evil.
Exactly.
Wasn't there a whole whole Superman storyline where he was a bad guy?
Yeah, Red Sun. He wasn't a bad guy. He was just a Soviet.
Oh, okay.
But I'm sure there was one. Well, it's called Bizarro.
Yeah. So anyway, this is now an initiative, if you will. It's the Justice League initiative, and it looks like they're going to be following the same format where they're going to be leading up to this. As everybody knows, this summer, The Dark Knight Rises is coming out. That looks to be the last Batman film in that series, so I would assume they're going to reboot Batman for the Justice League.
Right.
And, yeah, I wanted to talk to you, Jesse, because you have a pretty good comic book. You have some good comic book chops. First of all, what the hell is DC's problem? And second of all, do you think they could pull this off in the same way that Marvel did?
Well, here's why I don't think it's going to work.
Okay.
And it's one of the problems I had with the Avengers is that I felt they were too invulnerable, and I didn't know, you know, Thor, like, how do you kill Thor, or how do you kill Iron Man? Because if Iron Man can get zapped by Thor's full might and still be okay, then I can't really be scared when Iron Man is fighting some weird alien guys with rifles, because I know he's going to be fine.
Right.
And Thor got, like, stabbed in the side by Loki, but it was like, is that going to kill him, or what's going on? I don't know.
Yeah.
So that is times 100 when you're talking about, like, Superman. Because, like, right. Superman's literally unstoppable.
Yeah, I think so, that's the problem. I mean, Superman is the culmination of all superheroes, and he's just too damn powerful. I think that's why they haven't really been able to make a Superman movie that's compelling yet.
No, and then it's like the only thing is, like, his only vulnerability are villains that are tailor-made to be his antithesis, which isn't really compelling, because it's like, I'm Kryptonite Man. It's like, okay, I get it. So we've contrived this thing to make Superman vulnerable, but we all know it's going to overcome. So then we have Superman also teamed up with Batman and Green Lantern and Wonder Woman. Like, what can't they possibly stop?
That's
They're too powerful.
Yeah, because, like, basically there's this gem that is Superman's only weakness, but it's not bad to anybody else. So why don't you just send Batman to take care of the Kryptonite, and then Superman can clean house. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it could be interesting. When it does become interesting is when you get on a meta scale and it becomes like the nature of their powers, like politically, and what their responsibilities are to mankind, if anything, and then you have differences of opinion between the different superheroes and they turn on each other. That's when it becomes interesting for DC.
Well, you know, I think that's one thing that the Avengers did really right, is that they approached it from an ensemble level in that they pitted the characters' differences and similarities against each other. So you had, you had the Hulk and you had Iron Man, but they were friends because they were both scientists. So they could relate on that level, whereas Iron Man and Captain America couldn't really relate because they had two complete different views on the world.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I was thinking. So the classic Justice League, you have Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, the Martian Manhunter, and Flash. Oh, and Aquaman.
And Aquaman. Don't forget Aquaman.
Don't forget AM. Okay? AM radio is coming through loud and clear. So I think if they wanted to do this
You should be writing this movie.
I think so.
With singers like that.
I mean, there's also some other guys. There's, like, Green Arrow. There's other characters that are associated with it. But I think if they wanted to do this right, they should kind of follow Marvel's lead and maybe copy them a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if they went this route. Because if you had Superman be more of... I mean, if you had Batman be more of an Iron Man character. Mm-hmm. So he's more of a billionaire playboy who has a lot of gadgets and a multi-billion dollar company at his control.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds a lot like Iron Man to me.
I don't see that similarity at all, but go on.
Okay. if you have Superman be more like Captain America, and you have Batman and Superman being really really butting heads, because Superman is for truth, justice, in the American way, and Batman is got kind of his own agenda.
Yeah.
So you have those two things. And then you could have the Martian Manhunter be more of like a Thor character from a different world, coming to our world and being its protector, but at the same time being more loyal to his own interests.
I think they should probably forget about the Martian Manhunter.
I think so too. I think if they got to forget, they you know, Ant-Man wasn't in the Avengers and he was an original Avenger. They don't have to go with the original lineup because Martian Manhunter is going to be the hardest for people to relate to.
Yeah, I mean, that's 250s. I'm sure he was just stuck in there to try and sell comic books originally anyway.
Well, but one thing that the fan forums are saying is that Martian Manhunter could be the catalyst for the Justice League movie. So he doesn't have his own movie, but he'll come in, and, you know, that whole alien invasion plot that works so well in the Avengers could work well in Justice League movie if he's the catalyst that starts it.
Okay, I could see that.
Maybe.
Played by Jason Mayhem Miller.
Exactly.
The Martian Manhunter.
And then Green Lantern is the Hulk.
Yeah.
I don't know why. And then Black Widow is Wonder Woman, and the Flash and then Green Arrow is Hawkeye. It's very
simple. I think a Wonder Woman movie might be kind of cool though.
Wonder Woman movie is in the works. Apparently, the script is being penned as we speak, and the very exciting thing is that Nicholas Winding Refn is working on a film right now, and I've talked about him before with the Nicholas Winding Refn trilogy that you can watch on Netflix: Drive, Valhalla Rising, and Bronson. But right now he's working on Logan's Run, the remake of Logan's Run, and if that goes well, apparently Warner Brothers is interested in him directing the Wonder Woman movie, and he could do something really cool with that, I think.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. I feel like DC kind of has to go dark and a little and edgy
that's
with this.
It. Yep. You know, that's... I feel like they went Marvel with Green Lantern, and it didn't work at all. It was terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
But they got to go with what works, and what works is Batman. Batman has worked
exactly
great. But at the same time, you can't have Superman be in a Batman world, in the Christopher Nolan Batman world, because I just don't feel like that's gonna work.
I don't know. I think you could. I'm sure there's a lot of good dark Superman writers out there, and there's some interesting stuff you could do to it to kind of humanize Superman. And the thing about Superman too is, in the past, canonically, he's been willing to give up his powers and like kind of fade into the sunset a little bit because he realizes that he's just a super powerful alien that's meddling with human affairs. So he could have this whole internal thing where he doesn't know if being the, you know, superhero fighting for the American way of life and justice and all that stuff is actually his place on Earth.
I kind of like a depressed Superman.
Yeah, exactly. Depressed Superman with a beard.
Yeah, with a beard.
And an eye patch.
Well, the other thing that seems a little shoddy about this is, like, I don't know if they can reboot Green Lantern.
Like, that's going to be hard.
Although, I mean, they rebooted they rebooted the Incredible Hulk pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they can reboot Green Lantern this quickly. They're already finishing up the Superman movie. It's coming out next summer. So if they're trying to jam all this into a canon, I mean, these movies were, from Iron Man on, all of those movies were built toward this Avengers movie.
Yeah.
And if they try to kind of piece it together into this Justice League movie, I don't know if that's going to be as successful either.
It's going to take time, definitely, to build this up, too, because people were getting so amped up for an Avengers movie for a really long time once they started to piece it together and be like, oh, I see what's going on here.
Yeah.
So you gotta tease it, too. And I don't think DC should. I think they should be careful not to rush into it.
Yeah.
And maybe have, like, a long-term... Start thinking maybe release this Justice League movie after the next president.
Yeah, like, we
need a full term of another president before this movie can come out.
I think that realistically, if they were going to do this, the movie wouldn't come out until probably like 2016.
Yeah,
exactly.
The
Justice League movie. Yeah, I don't know. There's two ways to go. They could either try to follow the Marvel model, which I feel like they tried to do with Green Lantern and it didn't work out, or they could go their complete own way, what's worked for them, which is the Batman movie, super dark, and I don't know if that's going to work either when you get in the characters like I don't know if I want to watch a dark Flash film. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I wonder why it's so difficult to make a good DC movie that's not Batman. Because
That's a puzzling question.
I mean, Thor should be the hardest superhero to make an interesting movie about, and they did a great job.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I just don't know. And it bothers me because I would love to see a great Justice League movie.
Yeah, I'd love to see a Dark Aquaman movie.
Dark Aqua.
Dark Water, too.
Black Water. It'll be good.
Yeah.
All right, so what's your first topic there?
Well, I want to talk about something that got posted onto Reddit 8 days ago by Reddit user Lysirius. And the topic was, I've been playing the same game of Civilization 2 for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
This is the result. Did you see this?
Yes, I did.
So basically what happened is this guy has been playing the same game of Civ 2 off and on for the last 10 years. And he's made it up into the year 3991 AD, 3991 AD.
Uh-huh.
And basically has come to a three-way stalemate. And the nations of the past, the great nations, have been reduced to three superpowers who are in a nuclear standoff, an active nuclear standoff, so I guess not standoff at all, that no one can be the clear victor. And it's, you know, basically a dead end for all three of these nations, but they're at a constant state of war for the last 1,700 years.
Excellent.
And so 90% of the world population has been wiped out. There's no big cities. There's no infrastructure. The world is flooded. There's very little farmland that's not radiated due to this nuclear war. And basically, this civilization simulator has predicted the end of the world.
Okay.
What's interesting about this is the media reaction.
Uh-huh.
On that same day, the Huffington Post basically, without commenting on Reddit or giving any credit to the author of this, wrote up an article on it. And then since then, it's made its way into other websites like Joystick, NPR, PC Gamer, all these other major media outlets. And it's become kind of a sensation that spawned off of Reddit. And it's kind of interesting to me.
So they're not giving any credit to the guy who actually posted it?
Well, it was only the Huffington Post that was blatantly ignoring where it came from. And that was the first place outside of Reddit that I saw it crop up. And since then, other places have reported on it.
Yeah, and this was an OP. I mean, the guy posted this directly to Reddit, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He went on Reddit, and he got 5,100 karma out of it already, which is pretty dang good.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can cash that in at the Karma Bank.
Yeah, exactly.
For a lollipop.
It spawned its own subreddit with 14,000 subscribers.
What is the subreddit about?
It's called The Eternal War, and it's like people, like he uploaded the save, and like people can play it and discuss it.
Oh my lord. And that is so cool.
Some of the links on there are like, here, even Austrian newspaper reports, Sweden seems to like you too, and Taiwan, Norway knows of it as well. So apparently all over the Scandinavian countries.
Well, they do love the post-apocalyptic fan theories.
Yeah. But it's became like a worldwide sensation, and it was born out of someone posting onto Reddit.
And it was really born out of some guy playing Civ for, what was it, 13 years? How long was
10
it?
Years.
10 years.
Yeah.
Playing the same game of Civ, which I feel like, Jesse, I think that you might make a similar post about Skyrim in 10 years.
It's possible.
I've killed everyone in Skyrim.
I have every NPC in the game trapped in a soul, neatly organized on the shelf.
Oh my lord.
Trapped in a soul gem. But it kind of makes me wonder.
I think we figured out how to win Skyrim.
Yeah, exactly. The entire population of Skyrim is in this one room, trapped in soul chips. But it's kind of like a commentary on the nature of internet reporting, as it were.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
It blew up so fast. And you know there are people just out there who are browsing Reddit looking for something to write a story
absolutely.
About.
There's a million, like, Reddit has become the source material for a lot of content. And I do realize we are being pretty meta here by using it as content for our podcast.
That's true. meta is a great way to say hypocritical.
No, what I mean by meta is we're talking about it while we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not necessarily talking against it. We're just talking about it.
That's true.
So it's not hypocritical.
Okay.
Post-conceptual justification. Okay, so, yeah, but it's totally true. I mean, I think once you're on the internet long enough, you kind of learn, you kind of go to these source sites. So, like, Slash Film, I think, is a source site away from Reddit, where they have a lot of content on there. They get a lot of exclusives, and they get direct press releases, and they talk to actors and directors. It's a great place to get information about movies, which is where I got all this Justice League information from. But Reddit is, like, the source material for everything else. If you go onto any of the Gawker network, Gawker, Jezebel, IO9, any of these things, it's like every other post is directly from Reddit, from the Reddit front page. Like, you can probably predict what's going to be on those sites by checking out Reddit, you know, early in the morning, and then you'll see all those Reddit posts pop up as news stories on Gawker without any reference to the actual author of the original post.
Yeah. I mean, Reddit's interesting. I guess, like, theoretically, if everyone were on Reddit and posted the most exciting stuff that they knew and let it go through this democratic process of upvotes and downvotes.
Yeah.
Then it would become like the only news source necessary in the world, because it would be every piece of information would be voted upon.
Is that I don't know how good that is, though.
No, I don't know if it's good or bad.
I don't
There's
know if
only
it's good
one
or
way
bad
to
either.
Find out. That might be part of this guy's post-apocalyptic nightmare.
Yeah.
That he's created. One of my favorite things too is on the NPR website.
Yep.
The article about this Endgame Civ 2 scenario starts off with a screen capture from the movie Waterworld.
Excellent.
Yeah. And it says, if you're a fan of Waterworld, then the vision of the future in the Civilization 2 game played by Lycerius may be to your liking. Thanks, NPR.
Thanks, NPR. I'm glad that they tied it with something everybody can relate to, which is Waterworld. If you can tie, that's what I've found in my experience, if you can tie anything to Waterworld, people instantly get it.
What can't you tie to Waterworld, though? I ask you. I challenge you.
That's a great question. Maybe we should start up a subreddit about that. Can't tie to Waterworld. r/can't tie to Waterworld.
Waterworld analogies.
So I guess the moral of the story is check Reddit first. Reddit,
yeah,
your
check,
first source for everything.
Check Reddit first, and also a great place to legitimately win the internet for a day.
Yeah.
My favorite part is, you know, this guy didn't make any money off of this.
Yeah.
He captured the attention of the world.
50 minutes of fame.
And got $0.
I bet you, like, 2 years ago, he was sitting there playing Civ 2, and he's like, someday I'm going to be famous for this.
You know, you might be right.
Give me 2 more years. Give me a solid decade. And
he's like,
I
not
will
yet.
Rule the internet for a
not
day.
Not yet. The time is not right.
All right, well, let's move on.
The other great thing is he may have... I mean, it's totally possible to make this whole thing up.
Oh, absolutely. Well, but he has the save, which he that's proof.
That is proof. Proof is in the save file, guys.
Well, let's move from this Trivial Pursuit to another Trivial Pursuit.
Nice.
In Trivial Pursuit. Genus 1. So we're going to do a little trivia. Please play along at home. Once again, I will be Alex Trebek this week.
Mustache or no?
It's a fuzz stash. I haven't decided which way I'm going to go, so I'm just keeping it right medium.
Oh,
until
awesome.
Until I make that final decision. So
you have that seventh grader mustache.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, you can comb it, which you can't really.
You can see the individual hairs.
Yeah, you can really gel it out, which I like.
Uh huh.
It's more. It's less of a mustache and more of like a cat whisker.
Frosted tips or no?
Oh yeah, I got the little cap
get
on
the
there.
Frost.
The little cap with the hook. You pull it out through the hook, and then you study the individual. It's great. Anyway, I'm going to roll a six-sided die to see which category we're doing this week. And it's entertainment. Everybody's favorite.
Great.
And once again, this was published in 1981, so a lot of old people are great at this category, and we are not.
Wait, let me get a random resident of Port Townsend to help me out with this.
I think you'd be great. So who hosted the TV game show Earn Your Vacation?
Repeat that?
Who hosted the TV game show Earn Your Vacation?
That would be Bob Newhart.
I'm going to say Ed McMahon. And Johnny Carson, pretty close.
Oh, that was pretty close.
All right.
My unfortunately, question. Close only counts in horseshoes, hand grenades, and the geography tiebreaker.
Totally right. All right, and I have a feeling that one's coming. Okay, so my question is, what are the names of Red Skelton's two seagull friends? And I'm going to say,
I'm going to say Bagel and Eagle.
Bagel and Eagle, and the answer is Gertrude and Heathcliff.
Close.
Very
close. You were close in the native tongue.
Yes. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it's hard to type. It's a spoken language.
Yeah.
But what TV series is featured? What TV series featured Corporal Rocco Barbella?
Corporal Rocco Barbella. MASH?
I believe this was he was the father of Rocky Balboa. So that would be, I think it's
Rocky
the
animated
early
series.
Yeah, the early years.
The
Phil Silver
years.
Show. The Phil Silver Show. That classic.
I think MASH was a spinoff of that.
Yeah. All right. And my question is, what 1953 film won Frank Sinatra a Best Supporting Actor Oscar? I'm going to go with Ocean's 11.
I'm going to go with Chinatown.
From Here to Eternity.
Mm.
And we all saw this coming, the geography tiebreaker. So who's ever geographically closest to this answer will win the game. Here we go. What U.S. city was called the birthplace of the skyscraper?
Manhattan?
I'm going to say Pittsburgh? And the answer is Chicago, and I am closer.
Are you?
Yes, absolutely. Pittsburgh is Western Pennsylvania.
Okay, yeah.
Dang it. I thought it was Chicago, but
I was almost thinking Chicago. But obviously not. Congratulations, Eric. You win everything this week.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And to claim my winnings, I will move on to my second topic, which happens to be about Reddit.
Great. This is turning into the Reddit cast.
Well, this is actually a really cool thing because I did my first meetup, basically.
Oh, did you?
And what this was is I subscribed to the Seattle Reddit, r/Seattle. Mm-hmm. And on there was a post of other Seattle-related Reddits, and one of them was Seattle Softball. So,
oh, fun!
Yesterday, I went and took part in my first Reddit softball practice, which was really awesome. And I played a little first base, played a little second base, played a little center field. I hit a bunch, and today I am super sore in muscles I didn't even know existed. And that's all from baseball, or I guess it's from softball. But I just thought it was a really cool thing because it's the first time I've ever met strangers, from the internet in the public place. And everybody was super cool. And, like, there were all different skill levels there, so there wasn't a lot of judgment going on. It wasn't uber competitive. Everybody was just there to have fun. And I just thought it was a great experience, and I hope to go back because the idea is to practice over the summer and then join a fall league.
Ooh.
Where we'll have our own Reddit league where we can lose terribly to jocks.
See, that's what I was going to ask, is if you're going to play against other Redditors, but apparently not.
Well, we didn't have quite enough people. We had about 15 people, so we played a 3-on-3-on-3. And
okay.
So what that is one team plays the outfield, one team plays the infield, and one team hits.
Mm.
And then you rotate.
Mm-hmm.
So that worked, and we only needed 3 more people to field 2 full teams. So hopefully we can get more than one team for the fall league. But I just think it was a really cool thing because it kind of showed the power of the internet, and that my favorite thing was being out there in the middle of the field and throwing the ball around and watching people like coyly walk up to the field.
Hey.
Be like, hi, guys.
Did you have a sign?
Nope.
Oh, see, I went to the Reddit meetup, the National Reddit Day last year in Seattle at Golden Gardens. And it was massive. There were like a couple hundred people there.
Yeah, this was a 15.
Yeah, there there was no mistaking that it was a Reddit meetup when I got there.
I think another thing that makes it really safe is that it's outdoors and it's public. It's an outdoor public place. So you can feel good about being out there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Did you hit a homer? That's a thing, right? A homer?
I almost hit a homer, but it was caught.
That's called a fly ball.
Any fly ball is almost a homer.
That's called a pop fly.
Yeah. But I just think it's really cool. And I want to give a little plug here. Go on r/Seattle softball if you want to play in the softball league, and because we're always looking for more people. And it's really fun, and it's getting warm. So get out there and exercise.
And
feel
awesome.
Sore in
so
places
what,
that you didn't know.
Yeah. You're going back again?
Absolutely. Every Tuesday, there's a scrimmage.
That's awesome.
Hell to the yes.
Shoot. Now I need to get that for r/Port Townsend. I wonder if there is such a thing.
I just love it. It's like social media has actually become social.
Yeah. No, the Reddit meetup was really cool.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool stuff out there for Reddit fans.
You betcha.
It's a great community, too. Non-judgmental. Just average people.
Just super average people. And, like, very... I think Reddit gets kind of a bad rap as being either an uber sexist place or an uber racist place or an uber judgmental place. But that's just called the internet. And I would say the majority of people on Reddit are actually just really normal people who just want to hang out and say, what's up?
Yeah,
and like,
I agree.
Here's my Civ that I've played for the last 10 years. Why don't you check it out? And everybody's like, that's awesome. And we're going to give
awesome.
You...
That's awesome. I'm going to report about it on my major news outlet.
Exactly.
That'll be great.
But that was the thing. I didn't feel concerned at all going into that because I knew that it would be a friendly place where everybody would be accepted because it was associated with Reddit.
You want to go where everybody knows your screen name.
Sword Goats.
Yeah, you can all get jerseys with your Reddit name on them.
Well, that's the thing I'm most excited about is if we do get this whole team together, I really want to design the uniforms.
Yeah, what would it be?
Well, I think we got to be the Narwhals.
Yeah,
but I want to be the G-N-A-R walls, like gnarly.
Yeah, I get it.
And the hat, I want to be a narwhal horn hitting a baseball.
Can you get an actual horn coming out of the hat?
That would be awesome.
Because that would be pretty good.
I want to do that so bad.
That with a piece of bacon impaled on top.
That would
of
be
it.
The coolest thing in the world. All right. Well, we're running a little long here, Jesse. What's your second topic?
Okay, for my second topic, I want to talk about another thing from NPR.org, and it's a little, it's a snapshot of America, as it were.
Okay.
entitled What America Spends on Boots.
All right.
And it's out of every 100 American dollars consumers spend, about $1 goes to alcohol.
Okay.
And that hasn't changed much in the last 30 years.
Ever.
Ever. Well, since 1982, they're comparing statistics between 2011 and 1982. Mm-hmm. And Americans are spending about the same percentage of their income on alcohol, but they're spending it in a different way.
Okay.
So in 1982, 76% of money spent on alcohol was spent at the store for home consumption.
Okay.
Whereas now that number's at 60% and the remaining 40% are spent at bars and restaurants.
Well, I think we all know where this is going.
To yes.
To the internet.
So the price, also the price of alcohol based, taking into consideration inflation and everything at bars and restaurants has gone up 79%.
Oh, geez.
Whereas the price of alcohol at stores has gone down 39%. So it's gotten cheaper at stores, yet people are going out more often, where it's gotten significantly more expensive.
Yeah, it is. I went to a happy hour today with some of my coworkers, and I was floored at how cheap it was, because I'm so used to going to the bar and spending like $40.
Yeah. How much was it?
It was $26, and I picked up the entire tab for everyone.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I was like, "That's." I was feeling like a big shot until the check came. And I was like, "Actually, I'm the smart one."
That's funny.
Look like a big shot, spend like a small shot.
Yeah, I went to a happy hour today that had $1 beers, and I was like, "This is awesome."
Yeah, you don't get those in Seattle.
Yeah, well, it was just cans of Tecate. It wasn't anything special.
Well, that's a weird thing to me. Tecate is weirdly expensive up here. Like, when I lived in San Diego, Tecate was, like, cheaper than PBR. And if you come up here, like, a 12-pack of Tecate is, like, $14. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't get it at all. Yeah. And Pacifico.
Yeah.
It's like, this isn't good beer, guys. I don't know who told you this was good beer.
Anyway.
But money spent at stores on alcohol has remained fairly constant between percentage-wise between 82 and 2012, when you break it down between beer, wine, and liquor.
Yep.
So 48% then and 47% now spent on beer. Back then, 16% on wine. Now, 39% on wine.
Really?
And... yeah, so wine has had a renaissance, and liquor down from 34 to 12.
Really?
Yeah, so that's for home consumption. So a lot less drinking the hard A at home, which is probably a good thing.
Probably a good thing. I think that's interesting, too, is, you know, liquor sales were just legalized here in Washington to be sold at grocery stores.
Uh-huh.
And everybody's freaking out about the price, which is it's just as expensive as it was before. Are
they freaking out about the price?
Yeah, people are freaking out about the price because they don't put the taxes on the prices.
Yeah, they charge you the tax at the
counter. So before, at the state liquor store, they would put the taxes on the label so you could see how much of it was taxed. Because it's almost 100% tax. It's like, it's pretty crazy.
Okay, because I saw the price. I haven't actually bought any liquor since that happened, but I saw the prices. And I was like, this is dirt cheap.
Yeah. So, like, you buy a $13 bottle of vodka, you're going to be taxed, like, $8. $8 or $9.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Yeah, so it's about the same.
Yeah, so it's about the same. But value-wise, I'm just saying, for the amount of alcohol that's in that, you would be spending more than that, if you were buying beer. Probably.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Definitely.
I digress. Yeah. But I also think that people are drinking more at home because we're becoming more of an insular society.
No, people are drinking less at home now.
Well, they're drinking less at home? I thought you said they were drinking more at home.
No, people are drinking at bars and restaurants. 40% now based compared to 24% back then.
Interesting. Sorry, I'm drinking, so I'm not comprehending.
You're not listening.
Yeah.
Never listen, Eric.
It's social drinking because I'm on Skype.
It's I find it interesting, and I just love going to bars is my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a couple bars today, and I love getting out of the house and going and like being like seeing what the place is like and sitting at the bar and talking to random drunk people and playing pool and stuff like that.
Well, it's definitely finding a bar that you like is just an awesome experience.
Yeah.
And like I now have 4 bars here in my neighborhood that I really like to go to. That's just an awesome thing.
Yeah.
Like not all bars are created equal, but when you find a place that you really like and then you can kind of develop a community there, it's kind of like a subreddit. Just bringing it all back.
To bring it all back to Reddit. Yeah, I do like it as like the social hub.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool. And that's like the English pub style of alcohol consumption.
Right.
Which I can totally get behind. I think that's a great and cool thing. And it's fun to go to a bar and then have it be like Cheers, where like you're there for like 30 minutes and then your friend shows up and you start talking and it's all this like communal discussion. There's kind of a topic floating around and everyone's having their own take on it.
Yeah.
It's fun.
You want to go where everybody knows your name?
Yep.
Your screen name. There should be a Reddit bar where everybody just goes by their screen name. Is that how the Reddit meetup was?
No, but it would have been good. I did talk. It was right after one of my posts was number 2 on the front page.
Uh-huh.
So I had a bunch of conversations about that because everyone knew me through the post that I had made like a week ago. It was a really weird social experience.
Yeah, you know me through that webcomic that I developed anonymously?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty big deal.
I'm pretty stoked on it. Well, so that's American booze spending habits. I want to get to the listener feedback here real quick.
Yeah, dog.
So I'm going to read this more or less in entirety.
Okay.
A friend of the show, Mars, wrote in.
I think it's a real source of debate.
Yeah. So he says, "Hey, guys, thought I should write in again because I know how you worry. Contrary to your advice, I've been listening back to the old shows, mostly during long road trips and morning exercise. I'm down to the upper 30s now, which is mightily impressive. You might just join the 99 Club."
Yeah, just join the 99 Club, bro.
"Jesse reminded me of an old debate when he said there's no healthy way to deep fry something in episode 38.
By the way, I have no recollection of that.
Me either. You could totally be just making this all up. I would never know. You think I'm going to go back to episode 38 and fact check? No way.
He just wants to talk about something. So he just is like, yeah, you know, episode 20. You said lifeguards are cool. I have a great lifeguard story.
Yeah, that would work. I mean, there's easier ways to talk about this sport. Mars goes on to say, "In Olympia, there's a drive-through fast food place called Big Tom's, less than a block away from the house I grew up in. They have the best foot-long hot dogs, partially because they are split and then deep-fried until they're slightly crispy on the outside." So he goes in to say he got into an argument over whether or not that's actually healthy because I guess more of the fat and stuff gets sucked out of it and it comes out smaller than when it goes into the deep fat fryer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I'm pretty sure that the fat that gets sucked out is replaced with more fat. It's like...
It would make sense if it weren't for the giant amount of grease that starts in the equation.
Yeah, exactly. It's like filling up a bathtub with water and then pouring a bunch of water into it. And being like, look at all the water that came out.
I don't know if that made sense entirely.
It makes sense. It makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. No, because you're like, look at all the water on the floor. Look how much water came out of the bathtub. And you're like, well, yeah, but the bathtub's still full of water.
Oh, I see.
There you go. I get it. There you go.
Yeah. I don't know. I definitely don't think it's healthy.
I don't think it's healthy either.
I think it's probably good.
It's probably delicious. But like most things in this world, if it's good, if it feels good, it's probably bad for you.
Exactly. And then he says, on a side note, if you ever eat a Big Tom's, get the tater tots. They're the best anywhere. Also, don't forget to Don't forget the Goop, their secret sauce involving mayo, tartar sauce, and a little mustard.
Spoiler alert. That's good.
That's good for you, too, because tartar sauce has pickles, and that's a vegetable. That's flawless logic, if you ask me.
Oh, I do love me some tartar sauce.
So thank you, Mars, for writing in. We appreciate
Mars,
it. What
we
I like
love
about
you so
Mars
much.
Is no matter where you are in the United States, he has a restaurant for you to go to.
Totally. Oh, yeah, Mars. I gave that guy so many hugs when I met him.
Long hugs.
Long, awkward hugs. All right, well, we got to do this quickly, so let's do some recommendations to call it a cast. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, before we do that, though, if you want to get in touch with us, please email us personalarrogance@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 360-362-0024. You can go on personalarrogance.com and check out all of our social media up in the upper right-hand corner, or you can rate and review us on iTunes or tell a friend. Each of those things will give us equal amounts of love poured out to you from our hearts to your soul through soul mail. And now let's do some recommendations.
Okay. My first recommendation is a little HBO show that I've started watching a little bit of lately.
Mm-hmm.
And that is True Blood.
Oh.
Pretty engaging. I am actually enjoying it.
I watched the first season and I just don't like the main character, her accent.
Yeah, no, the accents got way better in later seasons.
Oh, okay, good.
I watched a little bit of the first season and didn't like it, and yeah. Part of it was the accents were throwing me off, and they definitely got some coaching because the accents are better. And also, they've slowly introduced more and more wackiness, so now it's not just vampires, there's werewolves, there's witches, there's psychics. So it's pretty involved.
That's exciting. Yeah, because there's this scene in Animal House where they all get expelled. And one of the guys has one line in the whole movie. And he goes, well, what the hell are we supposed to do, you moron? And his accent, that's all I heard when I was watching True Blood. Because that's like the accent that all of them had.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not a Louisiana accent, I'm pretty sure.
No, it's not. So that's gotten better in the later seasons.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my first recommendation is going to be a blog called Have Growler Will Travel. It's a beer blog, and it's done by this lady named Dikla, and it's very informative, and I would encourage everybody to go over there and check it out.
Okay. My recommendation is a little superhero movie, appropriately.
Uh-huh.
And that is X-Men First Class.
Pretty good stuff.
I watched it. It's great. It's great. I really liked it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. So that movie was directed by one of the guys who co-produced all of Guy Ritchie's early films. So yeah. Lock, Stock, and Snatch. He was the producer of those movies, and he got into directing with a movie called Layer Cake, which was a bit of a snore fest, if you ask me. But moved up in the world and has done some really good stuff. And he also directed Kick-Ass before he did X-Men First Class. So superhero chops big on that guy, and I hope they make a sequel.
Yeah, I want more of it.
I want more of it too. And why can't we get more Wolverine? They've already established him in the mythos, so I think it would be cool to have Wolverine.
Yeah,
maybe as a villain. I don't know.
Ooh.
And then my second recommendation is going to be Card Kingdom for all your magic card needs. I do actually use the site a lot, and I think it's the best magic card site out there, because they let you buy any card that you want, and it's you can get cards for as cheap as 25 cents. And if you want to build a deck, it's the best way to do it if you want to piss off Jesse by building a deck instantly instead of building it over time using cards, and I highly recommend it.
Great.
Two words. First touch, first strike, death touch. Okay, I've had too many beers. It's time to stop.
All right. Well, we'd like to thank you for spending another week with us.
A whole week.
Another hour this week.
Bunked up with your roomies on the Personal Arrogance Podcast. thanks a lot for joining us this week. And we'd like to remind you that wherever you go.
And whatever you do.
Please stay
arrogant.